This show is dedicated to Barbara and Mia. So, hello, girls, and hope you're having a good time, and enjoy the show.
The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning on this, well, dreary Saturday, but at least it's not raining, and hopefully you can get outside a little bit. So it's Saturday, April 13th, two more days to tax day, and the middle of the month. And I'll tell you what, 2024 is going by really quick, so enjoy it. We have a great guest this morning, and her name is Brooke McConnell. She's the executive director of the Pitney Meadows Community Farm on West Avenue. And if you haven't been there, visited there, please do so. It's a project started, and Brooke will go into this a little bit, that was started years ago to protect land, and they've done wonders with it. So we're going to find out what's going on. And good morning, Brooke.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me. Really happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you are. I mean, you walked into the studio and said it takes me, you back in time.
It's pretty wild in here for folks listening.
It is. I tell you, you got to love it. But that's what happens when it's a student-run radio station.
Yeah,
so,
with great posters all around.
Yeah, really. I'm telling you, that's how I tell everybody to come in the studio. I give them directions. They come in. I say, take a left in the door
with
all
the
posters on it. Come on in. Brooke, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. So I am the executive director at Pitney Meadows, as you said. I started in September, just this past year, in 2023. And before that, I was on the board of the farm and also a communications consultant for the farm before COVID. So I've been involved with the farm since nearly its beginning, and just love it. My two girls have grown up there, and when the opportunity came up to hire an executive director, I sort of stepped back and asked myself if it was the time to, put my name forward and take the job, and I'm really glad that I did. And before that, my professional background is I've spent my career working in social justice and healthcare and access to women's healthcare and basic services. So I have a real justice orientation to what I do. Most of my career was spent in nonprofits. And so, my role at the farm, we've had a lot of great directors before me and a lot of farmers, actually, who were the directors of the farm. We now have a farm director on staff, and I think for the organization it was time to have someone come in and really build the nonprofit structure of the organization for its next iteration.
Sure.
And, there'll be someone even better after me, but I'm excited to be here right now.
Yeah, but there may be somebody after you, but maybe never equaled. You do a great job down there, but the farm, there's an interesting history about that farm with the family that, because that was so prime property, they could have gotten huge money for that, but they loved farming. Can you tell us, touch on that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, I think everyone who lives in Saratoga, and especially folks who have lived here for a really long time know that, that land and property is king, and, we see new buildings going up around us all the time. Even at the farm, we have a view of a condo right across the street on West Ave. And it's a reminder to us what the farm could have been. We have a 166-acre campus, so we're pretty large. And we're right on West Ave, so people, the view is really important to look out and see the farm. A working farm is what the Pitney family wanted. And yes, they could have made a whole lot more money had they not sold the farm to a partnership between the city and the nonprofit in 2016. I'll talk a little bit about the history, but if we're talking about the history of the farm, we have to go all the way back.
We don't have to do that. The 1700s.
I'd like to go back before that to the original caretakers of the land, who were Algonquian people, the Mohican, and then also Iroquois, Mohawk, and Haudenosaunee, who were the original stewards of the land. And when we, as a nonprofit, think about, it's although the farm is now conserved forever, our stewardship of the land really is only temporary, and it's connected to both the past and the future. So we acknowledge those past caretakers whenever we can, and recognize that everything we do and all the decisions we make right now affect future generations of stewards. So it's our role to educate those future stewards too. But obviously the Pitney family is very important and still very much involved in what we're doing at the farm. So in 2002, 74% of Saratoga Springs voters established a $5 million open space fund, and that fund was used by the city of Saratoga Springs to protect some of its most prized open spaces from development, the Pitney Farm being one of those priorities. So when the Pitney family was ready to sell, there was a lot of work put in between many partners. The Pitney sold at a very reasonable price, which was very generous of them. And the city came forward with the funding. And then there was a huge fundraising campaign. I don't know if people remember, there was a big billboard put up on the farm with a thermometer and, help us conserve the land. And so city residents not only used their tax dollars through the open space fund, but they also then pitched in and closed the deal. So the nonprofit was born in 2016. And, since that time, we've been establishing the mission, the vision, and working the land. So there's, we are a nonprofit like any other nonprofit in the city. And then we're also running a farm as part of that nonprofit. So we are very much in startup mode still, and building as we go, and doing it in total partnership with the community and with our volunteers. We couldn't do it without everyone.
Sure. I've been here since 86. My wife was born and grew up here, but I met her teaching. I grew up in Gloversville, which I don't know if you know where that is, but you talked about the Mohegan Indians. I come that area a little south in Amsterdam along the river. That's the Mohawk River. And the Mohawks and Mohegans have, a lot of history down there. So when you mentioned that, it just brought me back to my growing up period, actually, they're probably one of the tribes that helped us win the French and Indian War also. Sir William Johnson was the agent, and he controlled all the Indian tribes. The king put him in charge. So he brought them up from the Mohawk Valley to fight here. So we're probably lucky, because the Pitney Farm probably wouldn't have been here if the French took it, got it. But, it's interesting how things start out, though. And, but the point I was making in 86, when I would drive past the farm, because I think Mr. Pitney grew corn there every year, I always said to myself, this fella has to be pretty pretty sane, because he never sold that property. And like we said, he could have gotten a lot of money for that, because that is prime property.
Bill and his two sisters, Kathy and Judith, made a remarkable decision to do this, and and not an easy one. It's hard to have land in your family for that long, and then to trust, essentially strangers to take it over and create a farm when you are farmers. So they have, watched us, I think, fumble and do our best with, not as much knowledge as they have. But they have been with us the whole way, and Bill is still on staff. I'm using air quotes. He is very much on staff, but obviously it's sort of Bill's farm. So he's our caretaker. You'll see him out there most days. He's really impressive, the amount of physical labor he still does. He's a critical part of our land management, and we're really lucky to have maintained that relationship.
Oh, sure.
and there's just lots of moments of watching that land transfer, which is a story happening across America of farmland, mm-hmm. Trying to get farmland into the hands of younger farmers. And we're sort of watching it play out day to day. You know, we'll talk more about it later in the program, but we're planting 1,500 trees coming up. And, you know, Bill, when he was a kid, cleared the land with his dad.
Right.
You know, so he's kind of like, well, we're planting 1,500 trees, you know, like I took all those down. But it's those moments that, for me, just make me kind of like step back and really like really understand what a huge project this is and how much trust the Pitneys have given us. And it's really an honor to be doing the work. And I know that my whole team and the board really feel that way too.
Yeah. Well, you know, with him being on too, it's a wonderful asset to have for knowledge and,
oh, yeah.
and help.
So. Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you know, 1,500 trees, we need them though, because I don't want to get into too much of it, but I think a lot of the problems with the climate is we're cutting all the trees down and putting in these housing developments mm-hmm. all over the country, not just here. But it takes away from the trees taking the carbon dioxide and changing it into oxygen. So I think by, 1,500 trees is great,
yeah.
you know.
And soil does the same thing. So yeah. So losing farmland across the country is a huge issue for that as well. And, we study our carbon capture on the farm, actually through a partnership with Skidmore, the Soil Inventory Project, which is housed here under Professor Chris Covey. So we are measuring that on the farm and a part of that larger conversation.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel bad for farms today because the younger generations want to keep it because it's in their blood, but the cost of
yeah.
doing things is exorbitant, and they really have to love it, having it passed down to them, and love doing the work for what they make. I mean, it's a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day job.
Yeah. It's a big endeavor. And then there's also a lot of young folks who didn't grow up farming who are turning to it and expressing an interest in it. And that's really wonderful to see. But it's really hard for, any young person to buy a house, let alone buy a farm.
Right.
And so there are government programs that are trying to help older retiring farmers transfer their land to younger farmers. I hope to see more of that moving forward. And we're hoping to establish a farmer apprenticeship program
oh, nice.
In the next coming years, where we would be able to train young farmers for a year on the farm under the tutelage of our farm and stewardship director and our farm team. But that would give them sort of introductory skills, tractor training, all of that stuff that you need to then go out and hopefully make your way.
I know we'll get into it with the questions and answers, but do you maybe not this into it, but do you work with Cooperative Extension at
yeah.
all? You do?
Yeah.
Sue Beebe?
No, we work with another woman, Nicolina. They help to facilitate our field trips.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
okay.
So we have a close, long-term relationship with them.
Because I know they graduate Master Gardeners, so I didn't know if they helped out, too, at the farm.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, they're great.
Well, the director, is a frequent guest and a friend, Sue Beebe, so that's why
I
mentioned
haven't met her
name.
Yet. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, great. She's a neat lady, I'll tell you.
Well, her staff is great.
Oh, gosh. Why don't we talk a little bit, we did talk a little bit about the mission and the farm in the city aspect, which I don't think it's lost that identity of farm in the city.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, it's a play on city in the country.
Yeah.
Country. What does it
right,
say?
Right, yeah. City in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are the last working farm within city limits.
Yeah.
But there are many farms still in the area, and we, part of our role is to introduce people to the local food system. So they, Pitney might be their way in because they drive past it, they come to the farm stand, they do a program. But our hope is that every time someone interacts with us, we're also connecting them to all of the farms around us and really helping them understand that our local food systems are critical to our community resilience. I mean, we all saw in COVID, we got a little taste of what happens when those larger ag industrial systems break down. And I think everyone sort of had a moment where they realized. And I hope people stay invested in their local farms, join a CSA. A lot of them are right now recruiting for their CSA programs for the summer.
Yeah, that was a real tough time, COVID. Mm-hmm. It affected so many lives and so many projects. You know, one of the things I felt bad for was graduating high school students.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you go to school 12 years and you can't graduate in tradition, and that was tough.
Yeah, but, very hard time.
Your farm's organic.
We use organic practices.
Okay.
And we use regenerative practices.
Okay.
So that means we cover crop, we use low till, and, you know, eventually we hope to have animals on the farm as well, but that will be our next iteration of the farm.
Okay. Your core values, I know you have a few core values.
As an organization. You know, innovation, collaboration, inclusiveness is a really important one, especially to my team. When we build any of our programming, we want to make sure that it's accessible physically and accessible economically and accessible culturally. So we do a lot of work to make sure we are always paying attention to that and doing better. Accountability and transparency. A lot of folks invest in us and support us, and it's important that we are being accountable and transparent about how we run the organization. Honesty and integrity. My favorite is a productive and joyful workplace for volunteers, employees, and visitors. You know, this is really a complex project that we've taken on, and it requires an intense amount of collaboration, not just with our team, but with volunteers, with the city, with the county, with just, you know, the list is long. And it's hard. The farming is hard. It's a lot of hours. And, you know, since I've come on, I have a real passion for making sure we're going at a pace that is sustainable. You know, I think there was a pace set in the beginning to stand the place up, and
right.
It was all hands on deck, and it's amazing what the founders were able to do. But that pace is not sustainable for the long run if we want to recruit and retain really terrific staff, and we have an amazing group right now, and I want to make sure that they're happy and they're healthy and their families see them.
Sure. You don't want to burn them out.
Exactly.
So they don't want to work.
So we're working on that, you know, and sometimes that can be hard to, you know, say to the community we have to slow down or we have to pace ourselves, because there's so much possibility there.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a great idea, and but we've got to do it at the right pace.
Well, you want to utilize the acreage that you have, and
yes.
That's a massive amount of acreage,
yep.
You know. And now, do you still get any government help?
We do. We're lucky enough to have grant support from city, county, state, and federal levels.
That's good.
So that's been, you know, that just speaks to all of the work that's been put in up to this point, to have that recognition, really, and belief in what we're doing. So, you know, the city's always been an incredible partner from the beginning. Most recently, last year, they gave us a really hefty grant to put a solar array on our pole barn, which sits on the farm side of our property. For folks who don't know, our property is split in two by a rail line owned by Canada Pacific.
Okay.
And on one side, where when you drive in, there's the farmhouse and the community gardens and our event space, our high tunnel, that has power that's attached to National Grid.
Sure.
On the other side, there's no power because we're cut off by the rail line. So, you know, our whole farming operation was powered by diesel generators, our irrigation system, which, you know, was not great for the environment or even for the experience of people there. They were loud. They,
oh,
you
yeah.
know. So, but it's what we could afford and do for a very long time. So this past year, we put on a beautiful solar array with High Peaks Solar. Kevin Bailey is an amazing partner. And now we can power our, we have four tunnels out there. We grow through the winter. So we have, you know, all of our water and wells powered now through that city grant.
Well, I think a good friend of ours, he and his wife are probably our best friends, Jim Klevenstein. I think he helped out, too, designing the to get the electric in.
Yep.
And even the solar, I think you had mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. He was the engineer behind that entire project. And then Kevin's company, High Peak Solar, put on the solar array. Yeah, so, yep, they were both a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of work went in, and that's costly. And it's good. And I think, too, that's part of the... Are you the grant writer also? Because that's a full-time job.
Yes.
You are. Oh, my gosh. No wonder you said... Because I had asked you if you were had another profession, and you said another profession. I can't, it's a lot of work doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Because grant writing is a tough thing, too.
Yeah. I have a consultant who helps, who's wonderful. But... Yeah, like most nonprofit executive directors, we wear several hats.
Multiple hats, I guess, especially on a farm. I mean, my goodness. One of the things, I think that's part of the transparency end of it also. But one of the things about Saratoga and Saratogians is that they do help financially on most of any project that the city's doing. They're very generous people.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, some cities aren't as generous.
Yeah, no, Saratoga is really unique in that way. Just how much people get involved and really care about the nonprofit sector here. So a lot of, you know, our great partner community organizations, we share a lot of the same supporters. And it doesn't feel like competition anymore. There's more a spirit of collaboration between all the nonprofits.
Right.
I mean, a lot of what we do on the farm brings in a lot of collaborators to run programs. You know, we have a food sovereignty program where we collaborate with 13 nonprofits. And I think everyone's view in Saratoga these days is that we're not fighting for, you know, the same piece of pie. We're just hoping that our work together sort of makes a bigger pie.
Sure.
And our supporters at the farm are remarkable. You know, we have our founding patrons, those folks who answered the big thermometer.
Yeah, yeah.
And every supporter and new donor who has come along the way. I think some people don't realize we're a nonprofit.
Yeah.
I think, you know, are we like a park? Does the city own us? So,
or a business.
Yeah, or are we a business? And, you know, if we look at the farm operation, we give away half of what we grow. So it's a cost center for us.
Yeah.
And we are the whole thing is a nonprofit, and we depend on grants and on individual donors to support us.
Well, the Chamber has a program, that leadership program, and I know they like to get involved in nonprofit. Well, they're probably involved before anyway, but they like to get involved after.
Yeah.
That's part of their mission, I think.
Yeah.
Do you have some of those on?
They
utilize?
We're part of their, they do a tour of nonprofits.
Oh, okay.
And so they come and visit us, yeah. And I think we've had different partnerships with them in the past.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that's great.
Yeah.
Let me see. Let's do some questions and answers.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. You're open to the public?
We are open to the public from dawn to dusk every day.
You are?
Yes, 24/7. And dawn to dusk, but our farm stand is open all the time. And in our farm stand, we feature 15 other local farms. So people can come in, and it's on your honor.
I was going to say an honor system. Is,
yep.
Yeah, good. Oh, that's... Yeah, hopefully they honor the system.
It's been working so far. It's great.
Good. What buildings and parts of the farm, I know there's individual things. We can get into that later. But what areas of the farm are open to the public?
Mostly everything. I mean, we have our community gardens is a membership of about 120 community gardeners who pay on a sliding scale to have a garden bed and come in and maintain it and get support from our community garden manager. But the grounds of it are open. Folks can walk through and appreciate everyone's individual garden bed. We have a 1.7-mile loop of trail around our agricultural fields, which is great for walking. It's laid with stone dust and it's ADA, so you can bring any wheeled device that you need to get around. And all of the grounds are open. We have a farmhouse. When you first pull in, it's the old Pitney family home, which needs to be renovated and is a future project. So that's not open to anyone.
Sure.
And then we have a couple of structures. One is called Bill's Barn. It's sort of like the most prominent barn you see when you come in. That is, we rent that space out, and then we have a high tunnel on that first part of the property, which we have most of our workshops and gatherings in, and is also available to rent.
Okay. What, who do you rent to? I mean, if somebody wanted to rent it for what?
So we do give preference to community-based organizations and sort of as mission-aligned organizations, so folks who are also benefiting the community. If folks have an environmental mission, we would be interested in that. So we do sort of look at what type of event wants to come in, and then we do have specific land stewardship guidelines that have to be followed, no plastics, things like that. So we sort of look at the whole picture of the event, and then decide if we're going to be able to rent it.
Okay. I have no property on my house, let's say, but I want a garden.
Yeah.
Is that available to a person?
Yes. So our community gardens are, like I said, 122 different beds. Every year, we rent those out to folks on a sliding scale. So you pay whatever you can, no questions asked. And we open it up to returning gardeners.
Okay.
So we give everyone a chance who had a garden bed last year to come back if they want. Most people do, some people don't. So then we open it up to a wait list. And
we do
have a long wait list. So then we go through that.
That's good.
We also reserve a certain percentage of garden beds for community organizations. We have two amazing youth groups that come in, the Rainbow Garden Club, which is a group for LGBTQIA teens. And then we have a new group starting this year, Saratoga Youth Safe Space, which is a BIPOC teen group. And then we have LifeWorks has a bed, and the Senior Center has a bed. And so we make sure that we're getting lots of representation from the community and as many people as we can into the 122. I think if we had 500 community garden beds, we would fill them. Yeah.
The Senior Center can go right across the street now.
Yes,
they're located.
Yes, they can. And one thing we're working on with the city right now is a crosswalk. Because we've got the high school across the street.
Right.
And starting to see a lot more teenagers come over to walk, which I love.
Yeah.
Some teachers bring kids over for PE or even other classes just to get some fresh air and walk around, which I love.
Yeah.
The boys track team, we are home of the boys track team. Coach Zanetti is on our board, and the boys practice every day at the farm, and they are incredible volunteers. They're our parking attendants for most of our events.
Really?
So that's sort of how the trade we have with them. But Coach Zanetti they just won the championship this past year, and he will say that he thinks it's in part due to practicing at Pitney, better ground to run on, and just the whole feeling
and more
of it.
Sights to see when they're running,
yeah,
not just sidewalk,
yeah,
and road, you,
yeah,
know.
So we have all these groups coming from across the street. The YMCA, obviously, they're just massive now. Anytime you go over there, there's so many people there, and we work closely with Scott Clark and his team trying to figure out, can we get their camps to come over, and then the Senior Center now being there as well. we work with Lois too. And so all of us came together, the high school, the Y, the senior center, to meet with the city to get a crosswalk across the street.
Safety reasons.
Everyone seems like we're going to make it happen. So I hope it'll be put in soon.
I hope so.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things the city can do for safety, and that's probably one of the biggest ones, especially with the senior center there. I mean, that's...
And that whole part of town actually is becoming quite a unique hub with, you know, the farm, the Y, the senior center, and SPAC sort of, you know, all together on that end. And they have that crosswalk over to SPAC and a connector there. And all of us work together to sort of try to think about what we are on that end of
that's
town.
That's neat. Is there any, if I have a garden there, is there any kind of rules I have to follow to keep it up? I mean, I can't plant something and not show up for 3 weeks and have the weeds grow and make it look terrible, correct?
Yeah. So there's guidelines. There's a community garden manager, Melissa Spiegel, who is amazing, and she works with all of the gardeners to, just make sure that folks are tending to their garden. If people go away on vacation, you can put up a I forget what the color is, but like a green stick, and then it alerts other gardeners that you need help watering that week. And you know, you can plant whatever you want though. And Melissa's there for, she teaches a lot of classes. You know, one thing at the farm that I'm really mindful of is perfection is not the goal. You know, there are master gardeners, and they are wonderful members of our community garden, and they help other people. But I want people who have never done this before to feel really comfortable to come in and learn, because that's what we're there to do. I learned to garden there. I'm still a pretty poor gardener, but what I learned there. It was a great experience for me and my daughters to come in and feel welcome and do that. And then I would say, as far as rules go, you know, I stole this one from a good friend of mine. Have fun and don't ruin anyone else's fun is sort of my mantra that's what I use.
That's neat. And it should be fun. I mean, if you know, but and there should be some responsibility to keep it. Keep it nice. So I had a nice garden in my backyard, but my wife made me stop because we got a dog.
Yeah.
And the dog likes to dig in there.
Yeah.
And she said, no, the dog has preference. So that shows you where I stand in the pecking order.
My dog loves vegetables, so you could throw the dog some vegetables.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about that. Can someone come in and pick produce from your fields?
Through our CSA program. So So we have a what's called a pick your own CSA. So CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture, and it's a long-term model in this country for folks to buy into a farm in the winter, which allows farmers to then invest in the next season, and then when when the season starts, folks can come in every week and pick up a box, would be a traditional CSA. Ours is a pick your own CSA. So our members get to come each week and walk out into the CSA marked fields and pick what's grown and what's fresh, which is a unique and, again, personally awesome experience.
Sure.
I have done that for a couple years, and it's just another way to have experience with the land and either be out there with a lot of your community members, or for me as an introvert, have those special moments where you're there alone. You know, I was there one day and I there were like 50 butterflies all around me, and you know, it's just, there are moments at the farm where you get to pause and really be in awe.
It's like magical.
Yeah. And we, you know, I think just in the way our culture is right now, we're farther away from those moments. And so I just love that we can offer that to folks.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, they're cutting down all the wood. See, if the animals, I mean, butterflies, but you probably get deer there too, I would imagine.
Well, yeah. My farm director doesn't love the deer.
Yeah, I know. It's tough on foliage and bushes. And,
yes,
and
we're constantly trying to outsmart the deer.
But they're so pretty.
Yeah.
You know, they are so pretty. You know, but, well, that's good. And it's just wonderful, I think, that you do that, because a lot of people like to have a garden, and they don't have the room for it.
Yeah.
And it's just so nice to have, be able to have a piece of property that you can grow things on. It gives you a sense of fulfillment, you know, and it gives you something to do at night. Go out and weed your garden.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
You know, have some fun, watch the deer. So we got that. Oh, I did not put your web address down.
PitneyMeadows.org.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I know if you want to contact you, it's info@contact.pitneymeadows.org.
Yep.
But I'll tell you, you've got a wonderful site.
Thank you.
And if a person wanted to get expansion on any of these issues, you can get it.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's really a great website, and that's nice to have. What hour? Oh, we talked about the hours. You're mm-hmm. open 7 days a week from mm-hmm. dawn to dusk.
Yep.
And that's pretty amazing, even in the wintertime.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I know my wife walks in the wintertime, too.
Yep.
So how do you become a community gardener or CSA member? I
yep.
probably touched on that a little bit.
Yep. Those programs open up in usually January, February. And again, for our CSA, we have 100 memberships. 10 this year are scholarship, and so funded through CDPHP, we were able to give 10 families free access to that program, and we hope to grow that. But yeah, that call out goes out in February for new CSA members.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's when's the peak time or the best time of the year to apply for to have a garden?
Same
time?
Yep. January, February.
Okay, because I know you have a long waiting list.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. You can get on the wait list now, actually, for next season.
Oh,
is probably the best move to get on it early. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know when Susan, when she talks about the Master Gardener program, they're like booked for 2 years out because they have a limited amount of people they can take.
Yeah. It's great to see that these programs like this are gaining in popularity.
Oh, yeah. Well, like you said, farming is becoming a little more prominent now, so they should be.
Yeah.
You know, that's great. You told us about how long the trails are, and, you know, my wife probably walks about 6 miles a day.
Good for her.
Dog. Yeah. You know, we have a pit bull, so she likes to exercise, and I get the pit bull the same way, but takes some of the energy out of her. Let me see. How do you, we covered most of this, and do you accept community compost? That's, I know people probably want to get rid of some of their...
Yeah, we have a real interest in establishing a larger community compost. Right now, we take compost from our community gardeners and CSA members, and are working with Sustainable Saratoga to think about how we could put together, and the city, to think about how we could put together a larger community compost. So the gears are turning on that.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's good. Does Skidmore do anything with that? They don't, because I know you have to, we have our meeting here, Kiwanis meeting, every mm-hmm. other Thursday, and I know they have a special bin that you put in for compost.
Yeah, I'm not sure where theirs goes.
But they have these greenhouses.
Oh, they
here,
have
so
a party here.
Yeah,
probably.
So maybe that's where theirs go. Let's talk a little bit right now about, and we'll get back to how you shield your crops and that, but the windbreak planning project.
Yes, yeah.
And I like the pun, is taking root.
Yes, yes. So our windbreak planting, this is a federally funded project through NRCS, granted us funds to establish a windbreak. So this will cross most of our property behind our agriculture, sort of splitting our agricultural fields. We have a westerly wind that comes in and is very harsh, so I'm sure your wife is familiar with it walking there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we really view our land as an ecosystem, so an interconnected system of agriculture, forest, wetlands, wildlife, and people. And we are constantly trying to enhance that ecosystem, restore it, And especially restore our soil. So with the wind, it's not great for our planting and our soil. So we potted 1,500 what I call baby trees, which is not a technical term.
Well, it is in your place.
So they've been with us all winter, and it's now time to get them into the ground. So we are kicking off on Earth Day with a group of 100 high schoolers who are coming over with their science program, and they will help us get the first trees into the ground. But on May 4th, we have a call to the public to please come help plant the remaining trees, which there will be many of. The high schoolers might get in, 200 or so.
Okay.
So we'll have many, many more to get into the ground, and we need as many volunteers as possible. And you can go on our website to sign up to be a part of that day, it's a Saturday. It'll be really fun.
Sure.
We'll have tools and leaders available to train you on how to plant the trees.
Oh, neat.
Over time they will grow. We're going to need to care for them. We have a partnership with Public Works, and they're going to come in and water them for us.
That's nice.
So, it always takes a community to do any of these projects at the farm, and this one's really exciting. And we'll have, a really lasting, large impact on the land.
I'm sure. When the babies grow up.
Yeah, when the babies grow up. If the deer don't eat them.
That's right. Yes, I tell you. Do you do anything here with, I keep bringing Skidmore up because they're involved in so many things in the community that people don't know about.
Yeah, we have a lot of inroads with Skidmore. So we have a couple of professors who bring their students out. There's like an insect class that comes out and studies the insects on the farm. We work with Professor Covey on the soil inventory project. We're right now trying to recruit for a waste management intern. We have an incredible internship program at the farm. We give stipends for the summer for folks to come work with us. So this summer we have a CSA intern, a community gardens intern, a food sovereignty intern, an accessibility intern, and we're trying to recruit a waste management intern that would sort of design a program for our events and how we manage waste so that we could potentially get to a zero waste events system at the farm.
So you're always looking for volunteers.
Yes, always.
Always.
Yeah.
Well, that's any nonprofit, but especially yours.
Yeah, we have a program called Work to Learn because, we really view volunteering also as education at the farm. Anytime you volunteer at the farm, you're going to be with farm staff who are very knowledgeable, and especially through the Work to Learn program, you're going to be on the farm side. So spending a day with our food sovereignty coordinator, who can not only teach you about what you're harvesting and the land, he also helps you understand how we donate 50% of what we grow through his program. And so he it's a great way just to see, it's a wonderful experience to pull sweet potatoes from the ground. It's an even better experience to know that it's going to help feed families in the area.
What is the I know you have different programs on Saturdays too.
Yeah.
Does it touch about on some of these issues? I mean, if someone wanted to take part on a Saturday, they didn't have anything to do.
We have Saturdays. We have a Work to Learn program. So pretty consistently, starting soon, every Saturday we will have volunteer hours, and then again on Thursdays, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are the consistent times, and then we always have pop up projects.
Sure.
Yeah.
And great things too. I wish you could do something about the deer though, because you put so much into that property.
We're working with the state to figure out what to do.
It's really hard.
And we have good fencing that helps us.
Can get through. I mean, they're amazing animals though. The hunting season, you'd have a rich and you could sell meat, so but anyway, that's that. So let's see. We talked a little bit about the food sovereignty program, and I'm sure. Do you know about how much food you grow there? And then what? I mean, I know you give half of that away, but any idea about, you know, how much you give away?
Yep. So we give away about 100,000. The way we calculate it is we give away about 100,000 servings of nutrient-dense produce through the season. Wow. So that, you know, translates to about 2,500 servings per week in season. And we get that food out through a collaboration of food security partners. So a lot of local food pantries in the county, senior centers, low-income housing, and we get the food out to those folks. We also do harvest cooking classes on those on site at those partnerships. So we have a chef who will do demonstration classes so that people can learn how to cook what we're delivering. Oh, those have been really popular. And for us, it winds up being nearly half of what we grow, we give away.
And that, I mean, I'm sure that helps you on your some of your grants, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because you do so much.
It's what we are, you know, it's our mission, it's what we're committed to do, and it's really important to the board and the staff that we are not only growing food for people who can access it, but sure. More importantly, we're getting it to people who wouldn't ordinarily have access to such fresh, nutrient-dense food.
Okay. Just want to put a plug in here that you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. The phone number in the studio is 518-580-5783. And we're here with Brooke, who's the executive director for the Pitney Meadows Community Farm. And we're learning a lot about farmers and the projects that they're doing to make it, I don't know, to utilize that acreage that they have. You've got some things coming up. I know the fire feast is one of the big ones that you do every year.
Yes.
And do you have any other, we'll talk about that. Do you have any other ones don't we talk about that?
This is sort of our kickoff weekend, actually. We have a lot going on. So we're at, today is the sustainability fair at Skidmore here. Run by Sustainable Saratoga, so we'll be there. We're welcoming our new gardeners today. We have an open house at 3:00 for anyone who's interested in just coming to learn more and hearing me talk even more. we'll be there from 3 to 4, but also with some key staff who will talk about their areas. Fire Feast is our main fundraiser for the season. This year it's on Wednesday, July 17th. Tickets will be going on sale in June, and right now we're seeking sponsorships, and there's lots of information on our website for it, but it's an amazing, very popular, thankfully, night on the farm where we have 6 open flame pits, and we have regional chefs come in, and they put menus together, and they cook live on the fire in front of everyone.
Oh, that's neat.
And it's amazing farm-to-table food. We use all of our local farm partners as producers. And it's a lot of fun, and it's, you know, we say the attire is farm chic, which means nothing, but it's fun. And
bib overalls.
Some people, you know, take it to all kinds of extremes.
Sure.
But I think it's a nice... pretty mellow, really beautiful sunset at the farm. If you haven't ever seen it, you have to get there. But it's a great night, and it helps, you know, all the money we raise that night helps us fund our programs like our food sovereignty program, and make sure that all of our other programs are on a sliding scale or have scholarships so that we are accessible to everybody. You know, lots of other things. The windbreak on May 4th, please sign up to be a volunteer. Sustainable Saratoga will also be at the farm on April 27th for their Tree Toga kickoff, where they go around the city and plant trees. So we love to host them for the kickoff of the event. We have lots of what we call try and learn programming. So these are our workshop series, and you can go on our website and sign up for these. We have really now multiple a week, everything from yoga and breath work on the farm to gardening, culinary, And art. So we have like plein air painting. We'll have a ceramics class. We'll have a mushroom growing class. So that's all on our website. And then in June, we will welcome back Homemade Theater is going to do, I'm not sure yet how many shows, but they're there for 2 weeks and they will do The Secret Garden this year.
Really?
Yeah. So we had Sound of Music last year and it was really a great partnership and really fun. So many new people coming to the farm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what you want, hopefully, out of these programs. You want new people to come.
Absolutely.
So that they return or volunteer.
Yeah.
You know. You know, what you can do, if you can, sometime in the next week or two, give me a printout of some of these, and we'll do it every week as
a
public service.
Great.
Because, you know, we do public service announcements throughout the shows.
Great.
And I'd be glad to do that. So that fire feast intrigues me. The only problem with it is that I work at the track as security just for the summer, and I don't know.
That's a track.
Well,
night.
maybe there after work we get out at 7.
Well, you guys are in for a big season, right?
I don't want to talk about that. I work.
The B word.
Yeah, I work. So I drive school bus. For an independent upstate, which is an independent bus company, we contract through Saratoga school districts to take their special needs kids to schools. And we'll be working. The school's still open that week. And Saratoga district, their drivers are trying to get those 2 days off because it's going to be very hard to pick kids up.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that our boss will follow the same.
Well, good to know. As a parent of two school kids,
I will put
this
trying.
In my calendar.
It's not done yet, but they didn't use snow days.
Right.
So
right.
They're hoping they can talk the director
in
for the Thursday and Friday. They may get the Friday because that's going to be the big one, but it's going to be murder trying to get around and pick kids up.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be pretty dangerous. They expect 40,000 more people for that weekend in the city.
How many come for Travers?
They usually get a crowd of about maybe 38,000, 39,000, but I don't know how. You don't know how far people come away from local, but a lot of people in town because a lot goes on during that week or 2 week period, but they can only handle 50,000 is the limit they can have on track. But there's going to be a lot of people, and they're having a lot of parties too with big screen TVs. A lot of the hotels are the hotels are all booked already.
Yeah,
months ago they were. So it's going to be. If I can work it, it'll be Saturday and Sunday. If they have Friday off, I'll work Friday too.
Yeah.
So, 'cause it's neat up there for atmosphere. You know, I love it. Love the people. But it's maybe you get a lot of people from the Belmont to come. And
I hope they'll take a break and come over and go for a walk and visit the farm stand and check us out for sure.
I hope so. You should have the hotels put a little sign in for walkers. Come on down.
Yeah.
You can also. If a person like my wife has an animal, a dog, you can walk the dog on the trail, but you have to clean up.
You have to have the dog leashed.
Right.
And that's goes back to my have fun and don't ruin anyone else's fun rule.
Exactly.
Some people are afraid of dogs or some people are allergic, and we just want to make sure that we're respecting everyone at the farm, and then also we're growing food, so we don't want dogs running into the production fields.
Right, because the deers do that enough. I know you said you have live music, a silent auction, and hayrides through the fields, which is great because usually hayrides are around Halloween.
Yes, yeah.
The month of October, so this would be a great thing.
Yeah.
And the food is what?
The food's amazing.
Yeah.
This year, Kim Klopstock, who a lot of Saratogians know,
Lily in the Rose.
She is coordinating Fire Feast and the chefs. And,
oh, she is.
Yeah, and she's a fantastic partner and supporter of the farm, originator of Fire Feast, and we're really happy to be working with her again this year.
She's a great girl.
Yeah.
I was on the Senior Center board, and she didn't have a restaurant at the time, worked out of wherever she cooked, but she would come in with her truck and she had a key after the event, 11 and 12 o'clock, and used the dishwasher and sinks to clean up.
So,
which was pretty neat. We had, you know, we got to know her pretty well.
Yeah, she's incredible.
And, yeah, she was great. Or she is still. I mean, you know, but what kind of bands do you have? What kind of music?
TBD in the works
right
now. Our Fire Feast committee is hard at work putting the event together. I think we have someone pretty exciting, but I can't talk about it.
You can't say it right now. Okay, we'll have to play 80s music. I'll be there.
I'll make a request.
Yeah. 70 or 80s, I'll be there, you know. But, I'll tell some of the guys, because, you know, it's funny. We get a lot of guards come up from New York that work for NYRA downstate. And one time I took them over to a bunch of guys, you know, you get to know them. I took them over to the Washington County Fair, and they've never been to a county fair.
Yeah.
They have street festivals.
Yeah.
And one of them said, I didn't realize cows were that big. And I said, how big did you think they were? Well, like a pony or a big dog. And I said, okay. And then there were farm equipment, you know, tractors and that. He goes, I didn't know they had so many tractors up here. He said, I'm going to bring my kids next week.
Yeah, the kids would love it. Absolutely.
But I mean, it's funny, the perspective. And so if people knew more about this, I think, you know, you'd get more people that could come over from outside the area.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it can be a mystery to a lot of people. I mean, I grew up here, and when I was growing up in the 80s, there were a lot more farms around us.
Sure.
I mean, my mom dropped me off at a farm in Schuylerville.
Really?
It was really just a working farm. And, you know, they would have us do chores and then eat lunch. And
that's neat.
It was amazing. And so I hope that, you know, our organization is an opportunity for people to get a little bit closer to agriculture. Observing it, experiencing it, and really understanding that all of us are connected to this. All of us, I think, are getting sick of our phones and wanting to get a little more connected to one another and also to the earth.
And being outdoors. I mean, that's the thing. And you know what? I think the younger the child is or the teenager, if they could be exposed to that at an early age, would have a great respect and maybe become involved when they
absolutely
get older,
and
well, I'll tell you what, we have about 2 minutes to go. Do you want to finish up with anything? You know, tell us how people can contact you and the website again.
Yep.
And because it was very easy talking to you when we were trying to get you as a guest. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you having us, Rick, and I love talking about the farm. It's easy to talk about. It's such a great project. You know, we just our role is to bring people together, and to be able to have a career doing that is I feel very grateful for. Our website is pitneymeadows.org. Please check it out and look at our events calendar in particular. There's lots of upcoming workshops, events, volunteer opportunities, and you can sign up right there for everything.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you were here, because I drive by that every day, twice a day, and I'm always amazed at what that's turned into. And I know with Lynn, this Kim Weir we were talking about with the retired thoroughbred, did some work there. Was tied into somehow, I don't know, but it really is a great thing. And people, you have a produce stand. People that drive by, if you want to stop and pick up some fresh produce, do so.
Yeah, please.
And, you know, and they love to see it, and they grow it for that reason.
Yeah, get involved. There's a million different ways to be involved, and we just love to welcome new people to the farm.
Yeah, volunteers are welcomed for a lot of things. Well, right now, thank you very much for coming. And I'll walk you out if you want to wait a second.
Thanks, Rick.
I want to...